Hello, is my mic on? Can you hear me? You know the way you test it, this kind of mic. Do you know what this mic is called? The official mic name? A pop star mic. So you have to test it by singing a pop song. Oh, baby, baby. Just go. All right, let me just get settled with God's word here. All right, good morning. It's still morning, right? What time is it? Okay, who feels like they've been here for like 5 minutes? Who feels like we've already been here for like 17 hours together, right? We're kind of like, we're in like an underground bunker here, okay? I can see some of your faces out there. Can you wave to me so I can see you? Hi! Hello! I'm so excited to be here. You know, I walked in and I felt such a sense of relief. I'm a couple rows here in front of my friend with this epic mohawk right here. What's your name?
The adult side, Christine.
What? Lucas, I was so relieved, Lucas, because I almost did my hair the same way. My roommate at the hotel can testify, I had my wax, I was ready to go, and the Holy Spirit was like, no, you know, just not the mohawk look today. You know, so Lucas is rocking it, right? Well, I'm so happy to be here with you all. Are you having a good morning? Someone's mic is on in the back. Do you guys hear that? Turn off your mic, especially before you go to the bathroom.
Oh, you already heard it.
Can someone tell him that his mic is on? He's like, Rachel is the worst speaker I've ever heard. No, I'm just kidding. Are you guys having a good morning so far? Amen. I want you to stand up for a minute. Because I feel like you guys have had some energy, but I don't know. I feel like the energy is rising. There was a corner. Our friends up there. Where are you guys from in the corner? You guys had some energy. I want you to match their energy. Do you think you can do that? And I heard a rumor that Canadians are a little more tame than Americans. Is that true? No. Okay, so we're gonna do a really quick cheer, and my Americans in the front, I need you to go out. We're gonna do a really quick cheer to get a little more warmed up, okay? Because some of you guys, I can feel you behind me, feel your breath, you're sleeping and you're snoring, okay? Are you ready? So this is going to be a call and response. So we're going to spell something. You guys are like, this is not school. We're going to spell something. And so I'm going to say a letter. So I'm going to say, give me a J. And you guys are going to say, J, you got your J, you got your J. Okay, does that make sense? Okay, so I'm going to say the letter. So I'm going to say, for example, give me a J, and you guys are going to say, J, you got your J, you got your J. Okay, so you're going to do that with every letter, and then I'm going to ask you what it spells, and I'm going to hope that you're going to know what it spells, okay? Ready? 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 Stretch. Get ready. All right. Give me a J. You got your J. You got your J. Okay, that was good. The Americans messed it up, honestly. Okay. Okay, now I'm gonna go. Give me an E. E. You got your E. You got your E. Give me an S. You got your S, you got your F. Give me a U. You, you got your U, you got your U. Give me another S. What does that spell? Okay, ready? Now we're gonna do this. Ain't no party like a Jesus party, cause a Jesus party don't stop. Huh? Ain't no party like a Jesus party, cause a Jesus party don't stop. Huh? Ain't no party like a Jesus party. All right, you can take a seat. We're going to keep... Why am I literally out of breath? Okay. We're going to keep that energy going all day. And the reason that we did that particular cheer and not just some like woohoo or not just like the wave or something is because it's fun. It's fun to dance. It's funny. But that cheer is the name, is the core of why we're here today. And that name that we began with Father Alex, the one who lays down his life, that name is the name that we're going to focus on for the rest. Oh my gosh, I'm really actually out of breath. Promise I like run marathons and stuff. Is the one we're going to focus on for the rest of our time together. And we're here today. I'm here today. You came here. Who came here on a bus? Who came here in a car? Anyone come on a scooter? Anyone walk? Oh, you walked? Anyone come on a train? All right. Planes, trains, and automobiles. We took planes, trains, and automobiles to get here, and I'm from America. We're all from Michigan, and I love coming to Canada. I love the people I came with. I love Lift Jesus Higher. I love Toronto. I love taking this time together, but I'm not here for any of that. I am here for one reason. I'm here for you, but we're all here for one reason, regardless of how you got out of bed this morning, regardless of who invited you, regardless if you took a plane, train, car, came on your knees on a pilgrimage. It doesn't matter how you got here today. I am here today. You are here today because of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ, the King of the universe, the only begotten Son of God who existed before all ages with the Father, as Father Alex talked about, to come and get you, took on human flesh, was born of the Virgin Mary, walked and talked on the earth 2,000 years ago. There was a real man named Jesus. He's not a figment of your imagination. He's not a fairy tale. He's not a fictional character. He's not a fictional superhero. He walked and talked on the earth, and he died a brutal death for your sins. But on the third day, Jesus Christ rose from the dead and defeated death forever. And that is why I'm here. And there was a song. I don't know if you guys know actually the words that you're singing. When you look up at these boards and you sing these songs. What was that? What were we singing about in that first song that you guys sang? The what of Jesus? The blood of Jesus. And then what were you singing about, Mike? That song, My Testimony. And we're all just kind of here like, from death to life. Woo! Right? It's like we just sing these words. And friends, as I was sitting here and I was singing, they're the wonderful blood that truly, for each and every one of us, we were separated from God. Far off, without hope in the world. Some of you are sitting here and you're like, I still feel like I'm without hope. What Father Alex was describing, the emptiness, the longing, the need to numb, the need to reach for your phone and scroll and scroll and scroll, the need to have the next outfit, the need to have the cool boyfriend with the hair that all the boys have on TikTok. Boys, doesn't look that good, let me tell you. The emptiness. And I think some of you who are sitting here today, you feel that. You feel that numbness. You feel that emptiness. And Father Alex spoke to us about the one who can take it away. And he read to us this passage, our theme today. I want to say it again. Greater love has no man than this. That a man lay down his life for his friends. No greater love.
Did anyone hear that? Wow. Wow. No greater love. What does it think about that? No greater love. That means there's not a love in the world. There's no love that you could feel. Not a love from a friend. Not a love from maybe the spouse that you hope to have. Not a love from the acceptance of the world. This is the greatest love. There is no love greater. There is no love more powerful. That a man, not just a man, the man, the God-man came and gave his life for you. And we sat here and we all raised our hands, which is amazing. And Father Alex led us in a beautiful prayer after sharing his testimony and sharing about the one who lays down his life for us. But I think so many of us, we come to something like this, and maybe that was your first time praying a prayer like that. Or maybe you're sitting in these chairs and you're like, I've heard that Jesus loves me over and over and over again. I know. You. Why did you come all the way to the States to tell me what I already know? I'm just here to have fun with my friends, or I didn't want to get out of bed, or I already know what I'm really far along with my faith, or this is the last place I want to be, and that emptiness and that shame and that numbness is all I can feel. But this reality that's presented to us, that Jesus Christ died and rose and saved you from eternal death, what do you do with that truth? How many of you guys go to school? Amazing. So many of you. How many of you like school? Wow, that was more than I thought. Okay. I think we're so used to going to school, going to youth group, going to church, going to all of our things, and just sitting here and being like, letting just coming as consumers and being like, okay, yeah, I know this truth, or I know, like, how many hours a day are you guys in school? 7, 8, 6, I don't know. 6, no. I was saying in the car on the way here, my nephew, Mikey, I have 12 nieces and nephews. My nephew Mikey is 11 and his sister is 13, and they were driving with my dad in the car at their grandpa. And they were like, Grandpa, they genuinely had no idea. They're like, Grandpa, how old are you? And he was like, I'm 67. And they're like, bro! My 11-year-old nephew's like, that's so aura! They get out of the car to their siblings, they're like, bro, Grandpa is so aura. And my dad's like, this is a different language to me. You know, he's like, I have no idea what this means. He is aura, though, not because he's 67, but because he's amazing. But you sit in school. We sit in school for 7 hours a day. We're so used to sitting, even slouching at times. Even if we're used to praising, even if we're used to going to adoration, even if we're used to the God stuff, we just get used to it. And we stand there and we look at these screens and we think things like from death to life. From death to life. The wonderful blood of Jesus that saved me from my eternal death. All right, let's go take the break, right? We just get used to information washing over us. And maybe we even have repeated a prayer. Maybe we've even said yes to Jesus. But what I want to get at for a few minutes here is what we're dealing with. The story that is being presented to you today, the true story, by the way, that is being presented to you today, demands a real response. It demands it. We're talking about God becoming man and dying for your sins. And how do you respond to someone who gave their life for you? How do you respond? How do you really respond when someone lays down their life for you? And we see this in Scripture so often. Thanks. Did I look like I was parched? Thank you. We see this in Scripture. Peter and the other apostles, they spend 3 years following Jesus, they get called out of being fishermen. They get called out of all these random jobs, and they're this ragtag group, and they spend 3 years following Jesus. They slept next to him. They went to weddings with him. They ate meals with him. They watched him raise people from the dead. They watched him multiply loaves and fishes for 40,000 people. They spent every waking moment with him, and then he dies. And then he rises from the dead and he says, okay, I'm going to give you something else that you need. You're going to go in the upper room and I'm going to wait there until I clothe you with power. And they're like, okay, what does that mean? Am I going to put like a new jacket on? Like, what does that mean? You know? So they go and they wait and they're praying and the Holy Spirit comes upon them and they all begin to change. And when the Holy Spirit comes upon them, they go out into the public square. And there's thousands of people there, Jews, Romans, Greeks, people. There was a bunch of people in the city that didn't even speak the same language. And they go in and Peter does what? He stands up amongst all those people. Think if you would have the courage to do this. He stands up amongst all of these people and he begins to preach. This is Peter who, by the way, before was like, Jesus, I'll follow you anywhere. And then he's like, just kidding, I'm going to deny you 3 times, you know? But Peter was all over the place. He wanted to love Jesus. He wanted to follow him. He wanted to respond to him with his whole heart. But when it came down to it, he was weak. He denied him. He fled from him. Peter's like, Jesus, you're the only son of God. And then 5 minutes later, he's like, get behind me, Satan, right? He's all over the place. But the Holy Spirit comes upon him and he stands up amongst thousands of people. And he says, this Jesus, the one who laid down his life, this Jesus whom you crucified, he has been raised from the dead. And God the Father has made him both Lord and Christ. So he's standing before these people and he's like, remember that guy that died? That you saw die on the cross? He's alive. That he went into the grave and the Holy Spirit comes upon Peter and Peter's like, I can't wait to tell people the reality of this person and what he's done for them. That Jesus was alive and now he's raised from the dead. Do you actually even believe that, by the way? Right? We're here and we're like, this is such a fun day. Yeah, from death to life. Jesus was dead in the ground, a real man. And 3 days later, he rose from the dead. This is the core of what we believe. Not that it makes me feel better. Not that I have a good life and get everything that I want. But that Jesus Christ died. He rose from the dead and he reigns in heaven in power. Amen? And he sends his power to the universe. And so Peter's there and he's saying, Jesus, this, he died and he's alive. Remember him, he's alive. And the people there, they're not just like, that's cool. It's cool, bro, aura, yeah. Right? They're not like, oh, we'll go talk about that and see. They literally get up and they're like, what should we do? That they hear the reality about Jesus preached to them just like you are hearing it today. They hear about the man, Jesus, who died and rose from the dead for them. And they're not just like, okay, I'll think about it. I'll take it into consideration. Let me just give a really calm response. They get up and they're like chopping at the bit. And they're like, what can we do about it? What do we do now? Tell us, we'll do anything. How do we follow him? How do we give ourselves to him? And friends, the reality is that for one who gave everything to you, the only response is everything. That there's an exchange that goes on in the relationship here. And maybe some of you are saying, yeah, well, I've tried the God thing before. I had a really warm, fuzzy experience that lifted Jesus higher, and then I went back and everything was still stunk in my life. Or whatever you're thinking or you're feeling, but the reality is most of us, we hold so much back from God. Think about this. We have Aiden. Can you stand up? Aiden just got married in October. He has the cutest wife in the world, Claire. She's on the adult side. And Aiden, you stay standing. When you ask Claire to marry you, what did she say? Yeah. Right? Imagine if you save up so long, you're saving up for this ring, you've been dating this girl, you're so in love with her, you just think every day, why do you marry someone? Because you think every day about how you want to spend the rest of your life with them. I want to build a life with this person. I want to have kids with this person. I want to get to heaven with this person. Imagine you're grinding at the renal ministry's office to get that money, to get that rock, right? All for that moment to put it on her finger when she says, yes, and it's so amazing and glorious. We get to spend the rest of our lives together. Imagine you're down on one knee. Imagine he's down on one knee. And he says, Claire, what's your middle name?
Maria.
Maria Muse, will you marry me? And she's like, yes. And you're like, oh, yeah. And she's like, but. Yes, I really want to marry you. Aiden, I want to give my whole life to you. I want to spend every day with you. I want to be committed to you. Yes, I will marry you, but I still want to be able to see other people. Cut. Red flag. You can sit down, right? What would you say? Would you be like, okay, that I love you so much, so I'm going to allow that, right? What would that do to your heart? It would break it. Say, yeah, I accept your proposal, Aiden. Here you are. This is what a man does when he proposes to a woman. Said, I'm giving. It's a symbol. Dot on one. They say, I'm going to give you everything. I want to give you my whole life. And right, so how horrible would it be if someone said yes, or the girl was the other way around? The guy's like, I want to marry you, but I'm still going to go on dates with other people. I still am going to spend, my schedule is my schedule, you know? Like, if I don't want to eat dinner with you, I'm not going to eat dinner with you, you know? My time is my own. I'm going to live in a separate house. I'm going to have all my time to myself, all this different thing. I get to decide what I do, and if I want to go on dates with other guys, I'm going to go on dates with other guys. What would you say to the person that proposed? Would you say, marry that person? No. You're like, this is insane. You're like, what kind of analogy is this? But friends, this is so often what each and every one of us do with God. The cross is a proposal to us. Or with the nails in his hands. You know, the Holy Spirit revealed in a private revelation to St. Bridget of Sweden that Jesus carried on his body through his crucifixion 5,480 wounds. His proposal to you. And as Jesus Christ, the one who lays down his life, hangs on the cross, what he's saying to you is he's saying, I'm giving you everything. My body, my blood, my heart, my love, I'm hanging here. I'm choosing. He could get down, but he's choosing. He's saying, freely, I'm choosing to give you everything. And so often we come to things like these or we have religious events or all these things and we're like, yes, Jesus, I give you everything. And then we go home and our time stays the same. Our heart stays the same. We keep the same affections. We keep the same habits. We keep the same sins. We keep the same friendships that are toxic and lead us away from the Lord. Our time is our own. We say, oh, I don't know if I can give you 5 minutes to pray. The only exchange for one who dies to give you everything is to say, here's everything in return. Your time, your talent, your treasure, your heart, your sins, your shame. And many of us, even who have walked with Jesus for a long time, we spend that journey giving him like little breadcrumbs. And what does he do? Does he come off the cross and say, you know what? You're not giving me everything. I'm done with you. Right? He stays. He doesn't get down. He stays. And he waits. He says, my offer of giving you everything isn't dependent on your response, but the way to life, the way to freedom, the way out of that hole that you can't climb out of yourself, that numbness that as you're coming on the bus here, you spent the whole time scrolling, you spent the whole time failing, you spent the whole time gossiping, whatever it is that you're doing to fill that spot. The only way is to make a step in giving him everything back. How do we do that? So often for me, I'm like, I want to do that, but I don't know how. I want my response to be total and radical, but I don't know how. And Jesus, he's patient. He doesn't expect perfection. He doesn't expect us to be able to deliver him everything perfectly, but he's looking today for a heart posture in you. A heart that cries out to him and says, I don't want to just say these words on the screen. I don't want to just jump up and down for nothing. I want to have a heart posture that cries out and says, Jesus, I want to give you everything, but I don't know how. And the scriptures are so clear. The way they tell us how to do that are two things. Remember Peter, he says, this Jesus whom you killed, by the way, he's so bold, you know. He's like standing up there. He's like, remember when you killed him? This Jesus whom you killed, he's been raised from the dead. God has made him both Lord and Christ. And they say, what should we do? And Peter's not like, I don't know. I'm going to go get a snack, right? They say, what should we do? What should we do? We're desperate because when we see the man, when we see the man that we're going to see right here, when we see the man hanging on the cross, when you see with the eyes of faith the one who has died for you, your heart begins to move and you say, I want to give you everything. That's what they're saying. What should we do? Peter says, repent and believe. Repent and believe. Father began to talk about this. He talked about going to confession. He talked about clearing out his heart. He talked about seeing his sins. And many of us, we can immediately begin to rattle off our sins. We can immediately look in our heart and see all the things that are wrong. And it's easy to be like, yeah, God, I give you my positive times. I give you my good relationships. I give you these fun, hype moments when we're here at Lift Jesus Higher. But what about when I get on the bus and I go home and I'm in my bedroom alone and that nagging shame, that nagging emptiness, that place that I never told anybody about, that thing that I can't let go of? What do I do with that? And many of us were so scared. Everything means everything. And Jesus, friends, today, not tomorrow, not the next day, not in 2 weeks, you are here because today, if today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. And if you've been in these seats before, or if you've never been here, whatever you're experiencing, and whatever you're going to experience when the king comes in the room, because he's going to be right here, and we're going to get to see him. And he's going to be there, and he's going to look at you, and he's not just looking at your eyes, he's not just looking at your face, he's looking at those places. And that's where he wants to go. He's saying, yes, give me everything, but those places that are the hardest to give. The places where there's pain, the places where there's shame, the sins that you can't let go of. Friends, when Jesus comes in the room, we're going to kneel, we're going to worship him. But he's going to look at you. There's a beautiful song in Spanish that I love. I'm going to wrap it up, but and we always sing it when we're in the garbage dump in Mexico City. And the translation is, Lord, this is what Jesus is going to do for you. This is what he did for me. It says, Lord, with your eyes set upon me, you looked at me, gently smiling. You told me my name. All I ever wanted, I left. It's with you, I will reach better seas. Jesus is going to be here. He's here, he's here. He's not out there, he's here. He's gonna be here. And he's given you everything. He's going to look at you. And he's going to smile and he's going to tell you who you are. And he wants you to respond. Not tomorrow. Not in 2 weeks. Not when you're older. Not when you're married. Not when you're your grandma's age. Today is the day.